Services, we've been looking at the first few chapters of Mark's Gospel, and now we come to chapter 4. And this chapter, although it contains the well-known parable of the sower, which most of us here could perhaps recite, know it well, we've learnt it of old, this passage also contains some verses which are rather difficult to understand. For example, verse 11 and 12, Jesus told the disciples, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." It's as if Jesus is not wanting some people to understand. That's difficult for us to understand, isn't it? And then, verse 25, another difficult verse. "Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." That sounds like the very opposite of justice. But let's, in these few minutes this morning, think about these verses in their context. Remember in chapter 1 of Mark, we've seen the early ministry of Jesus. He was very popular. He was preaching simply that the kingdom of God, promised in the scriptures of old, is near. Repent and believe the gospel. Then he called 12 men to be with him as his disciples. He taught them the life of discipleship. They witnessed the defeat of evil as he cast out demons, healed the sick, cleansed people from sin, and taught them the life of prayer. And then in chapter 2 and 3 we read of the beginning of opposition to him. When he forgave sins, he was accused of blasphemy. When he showed friendship to sinners and common people, he shocked the religious establishment. When he healed on the Sabbath, they accused him of breaking the law. When he cast out demons, they said he was doing it by the power of the devil. So we see there are different groups of people responding to Jesus in different ways. Many did believe him. The humble poor believed. But others were turning against him. Not so much the rich turning against him, but the religious establishment, the clergy of the day. Now, why were there these different responses? And today, why are there different responses to the Word of God? It's, to me, still a mystery why people respond in different ways to the love of God. But in these words that we read today, Jesus begins to explain to us why there are different responses. Up to this point, he's not spoken in parables at all. Now in chapter 4, he's in the open air, on a boat, pulled out a little from the shore, safe from the pushing crowds. You can imagine the scene, perhaps. Crowds on the shore, one wonders whether there were noisy children, barking dogs. Had there been an announcement that he was going to address a meeting? We don't know the answer to these things, but we read verse 1 to 3 of Mark 4. "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, 'Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed.'" Listen, he says. Be quiet. Use your imagination. Think of a farmer. There might have been a farmer behind the shore. Think of a farmer sowing his seed. Some falls on the hard ground and the birds eat seed. Some falls on the rocky ground. It springs up quickly, but then when the sun shines on it, it withers. Some falls on the thorny ground. It's choked by the thorns. Some falls on the good ground and produces a good crop. Then after he's told this parable, the disciples come to him and say, "Why did you teach a parable today? Why have you changed your style?" That's their question. And many of us were taught in Sunday school the answer to that. We were taught that Jesus told in parables so as to make it clear make the message clear through homely and earthy stories. But that's not the answer that Jesus gives to the disciples. It's a great surprise. He says the opposite. He says, I'm teaching in parables to make it more difficult. Now that's difficult for us to understand. Again, verse 9 to 12, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he was alone, and the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything said in parables, so that they may see but not perceive, and hear and not understand. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. That's a difficult verse, isn't it? It's almost as if Jesus is saying the parables are meant to hide the message from the people. And that must have puzzled the disciples. So Jesus reassures them that that's not what he meant. So, for example, verse 22, he says, whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. So what did he mean then? Well, the next verse, verse 24, gives us the clue. Consider carefully what you hear, he said. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Be careful how you hear. Once you have heard the simple message of the gospel, you have an awesome responsibility. You can't just ignore it and go your own way. You must decide either to give yourself to it or to recoil from it and harden your heart. And that will affect how you continue to hear the message in the future. Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. The more you give yourself to the message of the gospel, the more you will receive from it. And that's a law in the spiritual life, isn't it? A law of progressive spiritual awakening, or the law of progressive spiritual blindness. The more you accept the message, the more you'll be able to receive. For example, you may hear John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. And you might warm to that and respond to that and draw near to the Lord because you've heard that. But when you draw, as you draw near to the Lord and give of yourself in response to that message, you'll then learn even more. You'll go more deeply in your understanding. And then when you learn something else, you'll be able to receive it. And then your understanding will get greater, and your faith will get stronger. And as your faith gets stronger, you'll want to learn even more. And so you'll learn more, even deeper things, and that will strengthen your faith even more. So you'll want to learn even more. So the more you give of yourself, the more you are able to receive. Conversely, if you hear John 3:16 and harden your heart against the love of God, then the next time you hear John 3:16 or a deeper message, you won't be able to listen to it so easily, because you will have already hardened your own heart. And the more you harden your heart, the more difficult it will be for you to receive it in the future. That's what Jesus means. So that's why he says in verse 25, whoever has will be given more, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. That sounds very unfair, but he's simply saying that if you reject even the little that you hear, if you don't even have that, if you reject that, then you won't be able to receive any more. I used to teach mathematics. That was my first job. I know that in trying to teach mathematics, I had to make sure that each student understood the very basic thing in the lesson. Because if they didn't understand the first thing, they wouldn't be able to understand the next thing, or the next thing, or the next thing. You have to understand the simple principle, else you'll never understand things that go more deeply. Now, it's not that understanding the Christian faith involves the intellect and you have to be intelligent like you do to understand mathematics. But nevertheless, the principle is the same. If you refuse to accept the simple, you won't be able to accept the greater. And that applies to us, I suppose, in Sunday worship. The more we bring to Sunday worship, the more we're able to receive from it. But if we come with hardened hearts, critical of other people in the church, whether it be the leadership or just people who are sitting with us, critical about trivial things, about the way people are dressed or the place they're sitting, if we come like that, then we won't be able to receive anything from the worship. And throughout our lives, we are making choices about our attitude to the Word of God. And these choices affect our hearts. So what did happen when Jesus began speaking in parables? To those people like the disciples who'd already accepted his teaching, the parables opened up new and greater understanding for them. But to those who had already hardened their hearts against the plain teaching of Christ, that is, to those who are on the outside, the parables were too deep for them, and they couldn't understand. So some people simply rejected Jesus, and others wholeheartedly accepted him. But it wasn't as simple as that, because as Jesus told us, in fact, there are four types of people, not two. Four types. And this is the meaning of the parable of the sower. It seems as if the sower was being careless, doesn't it? Some of his seed fell on the pathway. But you can imagine the sower, what he's doing. He's walking along a strip of path, and he's putting his hand in the bag and throwing the seed, and inevitably a few will fall from his hand onto the path in front of him. Anyway, whether or not the sower, the farmer, is being careless, there is a message for us in the parable. And if we have ears to hear, then we should hear it. There are four types of people, Jesus says, and four types of heart. There's the hard heart, the shallow heart, the overcrowded heart, and the good heart. The hard heart, that's those people who've already heard the message and hardened their hearts. So much so that they are no longer interested at all in the love of God. They don't care. They're not interested. If there is a God, they think he's not relevant to their lives. And it's true, he wouldn't be relevant if we had no happiness for which to thank him, no sorrow for which we needed him for comfort and strength, no sin for which we needed forgiveness, no day of judgment which we have to be ready for. But there is happiness, and we do need to give thanks. There is sorrow, and we do need comfort. There is sin, and we do need forgiveness. There is a day of judgment, and we need the Lord to make us ready for it. We do need God. He is very relevant indeed. He is the way to be forgiven and saved. And then there's the stony ground. Those are the people who are with shallow hearts. It's a number of people seem at first touched by God's word, and they enjoy good hymns, but they do not allow the message to take root in them, because there's a hardness under the surface. And so they don't last very long. I wonder if it's partly our fault, the ministers and preachers. Perhaps we've not preached the cross of Jesus enough. If we've only preached a benevolent figure in the sky without the pain of the cross by which we are forgiven, then we mustn't be surprised if people leave us when times of difficulty arise. But if we preach the cross and the cross takes root in our lives, then we won't give up in difficult and hard times, because we will know that in all our affliction, he too is afflicted. And we'll know that through that cross, we are forgiven our sins. And then thirdly, there is the overcrowded heart, or the thorny ground. These people understand the message. They're not shallow, but they're simply too busy. Life is too crowded with other things. And the weeds in the ground sometimes can look quite attractive. They may seem nice, but they don't bear any fruit in the end. But these are the people who give no priority to the seed of the gospel, which will bring forth fruit to eternal life. And then there's the good soil. And I don't need to expound on that. But when I was explaining this parable to some Malawian young people, I asked them at the end, hands up those of you who are the hard ground. And I don't think anybody put his hand up. And then I said, right, hands up. Shall I do it? No, I won't do it here in St. David's. I said, hands up those of you who are the rocky ground. And a few hands went up. Then I said, hands up those of you who think you're the thorny ground with all the weeds. And quite a lot of hands went up. And then I said, hands up those of you who are the good ground. And not many hands went up because they're a bit shy. And then I said, hands up those of you who would like to be the good ground. And most, but interestingly not all, hands went up. Most hands went up. And then I went on to say to them, we're not born with different hearts. It's not that God gave you a hard heart, or a shallow heart, or an overcrowded heart, or a good heart. We can't say that it's God's fault and he made me that way. It's our decisions that make us what we are. And what's more, we can be changed. As a teenager, I used to worry that maybe I was the shallow ground. So I prayed, Lord, pull out the rocks. Pull up the weeds. Hoe over the hardness. And that's what we can do. We can humbly ask the Lord to plow over the hardness, take out the stones, pull out the weeds. It might be painful for us, but God can do it if we simply ask him. And then every one of us, by the grace of God, can be the good ground. For we read in the prophet Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my teaching. May that be true for all of us. Let us pray. Almighty God, that is our prayer, that if there are things in our lives that have crowded out your eternal goodness, that you would uproot them. If there's hardness in our lives that has come because we have reacted against your love and forgiveness or the love and forgiveness of others, we pray that you will remove that hardness so that we will bring forth much fruit to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.